Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome on. I am just bawling over here in laughter because I just randomly hit a song that was played. So I'm like, what? I have to message Aunt. I'm like, Aunt, what is this that we're listening to?
That's
it's
some
so cool.
That's some Whitney Houston.
Okay, we hear you. So, y'all, we had a Whitney Houston flashback. That's when we were doing the Houston tributes when she passed. So, hopefully we have some new music updated. But, you know, that's a Whitney jam I've never heard. What was that, Ann?
That was on her very, that was on her second CD. So, when she passed for the month that she passed when we was doing the show, we only played Whitney Houston tracks. So I haven't updated our music list since, but I will be updating it. So next week, we'll have some fresh, up-to-date stuff. So, but I like that song. I really do. I like that song. So.
Okay. I wish we had that one from Miss Nephi.
How is Miss Lucessa Arshell and Miss Mallory Posa this afternoon? How are you ladies? Well, this evening. How are you ladies doing?
I'm good.
I'm doing well. I'm doing really well. Well, I'm very excited about tonight's show. I don't know if you ladies had the opportunity to look over who's going to be our guest for this evening, so I'm really excited about that. The author is Treasure Blue, very well respected within this industry. He's been in the game for a very, very long time. And this is my first time interviewing him, although I've met and talked to him on numerous occasions. You know, I've just seen him in action, how he interacts with everyone. Everyone respects him. He's a well-rounded guy. So I'm excited to talk to him and to see what knowledge he's going to instill in us tonight. So I'm excited. But before we do jump into that, ladies, how was your week, your weekend? What went on with you? What's been going on?
Now, for our new host, I don't mean no disrespect by this, so please don't think Anna Black is like a hater, but I'm used to Tamika because we have worked together a lot, so I know Tamika's voice. So Mariposa, and the other new host, I can't pronounce your name yet either, and so I get used to you ladies' voices. I have to sometimes don't know who's speaking, so I get used to you.
Right now,
please say who you are when you speak.
Are we
okay.
Talking about? So
yeah, I'm supposed to talk soft. So if she don't stop talking soft, I'm going to reach through this phone and punch her dead in the throat.
Ooh.
That's just my 2 cents.
It sounded a little serious.
No. I can't recognize their voices. So I don't know who's speaking.
Okay, well, this is Professor Arshell, and I guess I'll go first. The week is just Tuesday, so I'm pretty good now. I've only managed to tell off about 2 people, so I guess I'm pretty good on my end.
You did what, 2 people?
I said I managed to only tell off 2 people this week. That's it.
She has a goal.
All right. One a day keeps that way. That's my thing.
Well, my weekend was actually good. I drove into Florida for my daughter's 10th birthday. Her birthday was actually yesterday, but we celebrated in Florida over the weekend. And I took her to Busch Gardens. It's kind of like a theme park and a zoo kind of put in one.
Wow.
It was cool. It was mad cool. And then we went into St. Petersburg and we went to the beach out there. And that was my first time taking my kids like that to like a beach that's connected to like a big ocean. Like I took them to like the coast of Texas before, but this beach was like totally different. It was really, really nice, and the weather was good. My kids had fun, so it was real good. And I went broke this weekend, but
bye then.
It's all good. So. With that, let's go ahead and bring on Ms. LaShera Lee. She's going to talk about the hot book of the week. LaShera, tell us what's hot this week. What should we be checking out?
Well, I'm going to tell you, most people, when they hear the title of the book, especially women, they're like, oh, man, I have got to get that. The title of the book is Child Support. Child Support by A. Moore. But ladies, don't get it twisted. This book, if your baby daddy is getting on your nerves, you will want to get in contact with the lead heroine in the story, Angel, angel is no angel. She is a devil with a $400 weave on. Sister girl goes through this book like Rambo, and I mean literally Rambo. Any man that gets on her nerves and remind her of baby daddy or should have been baby daddy, you do not want to call cross Miss Angel. This is a sister who can use a machete like no one's did.
What the?
Oh, wow.
She got drama. She has drama and more drama. And let me tell you all, for you all like a little something-something on the side, Angel does a whole lot of something-something throughout the whole book. She does not mind spreading high and going low, but if you get on her bad side, she will cut you down, literally cut you down to any size. Child support by a more, you have to cop this novel this week. You will not be disappointed. And the ending is jaw-breaking, literally. I was shocked at the ending. I did not expect. It's kind of like it's kind of like drama meets Sixth Sense, meet Rambo, all in the same novel. I was not expecting the ending. I was completely taken back with the ending. So this is not your normal boy meets girl fall in love, honey. She don't love anyone but herself. And in her eyes, the ends justify the means.
Now, who wrote this book?
Wow.
A Moore. She's an up-and-coming author. The book is on Urban Books. You can check it out on urbanbooks.net and, of course, Amazon and Nook. It is in some of your Walmart and in your Barnes & Noble stores. Child support. But, ladies, let me tell you, if you ever get a feeling that you want to do something to that something that did something to you, maybe this may not be the book to read because you have all kind of ideas going through your mind.
Well, I make sure I put
this
it on
book
my
is bananas.
Wait a minute, this book could be used for evidence against you.
Yeah, look,
really?
Look, this book is bananas. Like I say, it is bananas. It's crazy. It's not your typical urban read. You would think, especially from a woman. But she gets it done, and she gets down in this book.
I like it. Always. Anytime when you put Rambo and a sister in a combination, that could plus for me.
That's yeah. Homegirl can operate a machete, have a gun, and if you look right or you look wrong, she will get an ashtray and get it done. Don't play with Angel.
Wow.
Don't play with Angel in this story.
Well, and her name just happened to be Angel. That's funny. Okay.
That's what I'm saying. Angel is an oxymoron. She's more like the devil.
Well, I just posted the link to so guys can see what book LaShera is talking about, Child Support by Amar. I think that's how you say the lady's name. But if you go to the link, you'll be able to see the book cover and the synopsis. And so I hope you guys go and check it out. If you do check it out, hit us back. Let us know what you think about it. LaShera, let everybody know your Twitter and Facebook so they can hit you up, let you know what they thought about today's hot pick.
You can find me on LaShera Lee on Facebook, on Twitter. You can find me on Read You Later. And please hit me back and let me know. And if you have any suggestions, I am open to suggestions. I am what we call a book brat, so I am constantly reading, constantly reviewing. So if you have any suggestions out there in Blog Talk Land, hit me up and let me know what's the hottest pick.
That's a plan. Thank you so much, ma'am. And we will
thank
next
you.
Week.
All right, and I'm going to give a quick shout out to Treasure. He was able to come to my event this year. I love myself some Treasure Blue.
Oh, that's what's up. Okay, you know, I'm going to keep you. If you want to stay on the line,
I surely will.
So we're about to bring him on just now, right now, as a matter of fact. Let me tell you guys a little bit about Treasure E. Blue. And I want to know what E stands for. But anyway, he's an Essence Magazine best-selling author of Harlem Girl Lost, A Sweet Girl Named Desire, Keisha and Clyde, and a contributor to several anthologies. He's a former fire inspector with the New York City Fire Department. He's also a winner of the Black Issue Book of Reviews Urban Lit Book of the Year. And the Star Purchase Review recipient. It says that he currently resides in Harlem, but I'm pretty sure he commutes back and forth from Harlem to the into the South, and he's a public speaker that shows today's youth at the danger of drug addiction and the importance of literacy. Not to forget, he is also the winner of the Nate Holmes Honorary Award, which was honored to him by the AANBC Literary Awards this May, as a matter of fact. Without further ado, let's go on and bring on Mr. Treasure Evely. Treasure, how are you doing this evening?
Hello?
Treasure?
Hello, yes, it's Treasure.
Hey! Where you at? You kind of low.
Am I low? Hold on.
Okay.
Hello?
We can hear you.
Hello? Is that better?
Hello?
Treasure. Yeah, that's much better.
Hey. Too, I feel like, Treasure, your voice is supposed to be bigger and robust. And like, hey, what's up?
That's all MJL is thinking.
Well, you know me. How y'all doing? How you doing, Tamika, Anna, Rashera?
How you doing,
Treasure?
Mr. Blue?
Okay. Let's start these games.
Yes, you are talking to a lot of women now, so we may have a several questions for you. So, ladies, definitely, if you have a question, announce your name and say, hey, let me ask something really quick, because I don't want us to kind of get all entangled in the mix here. But, Treasure, definitely, first of all, thank you for taking the time to sit down and talk with us. And, you know, I want to first let me say I'm so very proud of you, of the direction that you're going with life. You've done a complete 180. You're definitely positive right now, and you're taking care of yourself. And I know you recently said you were also losing some weight, and now you're trying to get a little bit sexy on us a little bit. So you've been doing really good and just overall in your career and your personal life. So take us back a little bit. Tell us about how you even got started into this game.
To be honest, you know, I've always been a reader. You know, that was my love, that was my passion ever since I was a kid, you know, for some ungodly reason. You know, I guess my mother being a school teacher, fifth grade school teacher, had a lot to do with that, you know. You know, she got tired of beating me, so she made me stay. She made me stay in the room and read a book. That'll teach me, and it taught me. And, you know, when I actually buckled down, when I could no longer fake it, you know, I scanned through the book, I finished it. When I couldn't fake it anymore, I just said, let me just read this book. That first book was The Count of Monte Cristo. I believe
that
was
I saw that movie.
Okay.
Yeah,
I saw that movie. I didn't read the book.
Yeah, I think it was I don't know, I think I was about 11, you know. And I had to read it. She wanted me to read this, the plot, the theme, the topic, the main characters. She wanted all that. So I had to write out a report after I read it. So, you know, and I did, you know, and I got into this book. Because, you know, she locked me in the room and told me I couldn't come outside or go outside and play. It was like, he was speaking my story. You know, they put this mask on him and enslaved him in a dungeon. I felt like I was in a dungeon, so I couldn't relate. I swear to God, true story.
And I'm telling you, Treasure, since you read the book, which I didn't read the book, but I definitely saw the movie, and the movie was great. So you ladies, I don't know if y'all are into those type of music movies. It's like, something like Pirates of the Caribbean. That movie was
right. Excellent.
That movie was a great movie. So if y'all ever get a chance to watch it, I can see where he's coming from, because it's some tragic stuff happened to this main character.
Tragic.
So if you relate to the character of being locked away, I can totally understand.
And he was wrong. All I wanted to do, I wanted to finish the book, because I wanted him to get his wrong rights. And
right.
And I read it, and it was like I had an epiphany. The heavens opened up, and I was open. I was really open on that book, because I achieved something that I haven't done, and I read a full book, you know. And ever since then, I just took a passion for it and go to the library, and I start stealing little books, bringing them home, and then, you know, the funny thing happened when I used to come back to my neighborhood in Harlem, you know, I'm walking up the block, and all the big boys would say, yo, what you doing with that book in your back pocket? You can't read. I mean, they said this so much, I felt special, you know? And so I just always carried a book and always was reading. When you know, later on in life, you know, when everybody play hooky, they go to the basketball court or go to 42nd Street, I play hooky. I went to the library, found myself a nice little corner, and just read the rest of the day.
Now we know books inspires you to fall into the path that you're in as far as writing. But when you had your first idea to sit down and say, okay, I do want to write a book, where did that idea transpire from? Meaning, like, where did you get the, I mean, tell us about your process of getting the plot, or what made you say, I want to write about this? Because we all want to write about something, but we get an idea or inspiration from something to start a certain book. So your very first book, what made you sit down and say, okay, I can do this? What made you sit down and say, I want to write about this?
Shannon Owens. I write a novel. I was writing screenplays before that. You know, I won a few contests. You know, I beat a lot of people out. That's when I got my motivation and the courage to know that, hey, I got something there. You know, I went back to school. I went back to college. I'm a high school dropout. And I always felt, you know, an inkling that I know I could have done better if I wasn't in that type of life or the circumstances I was in. And so, you know, X amount of years later, I went back to school, John Jay University. And that's when I was being challenged. That's when I wanted to pick myself up and see if I got the certain amount of aptitude it takes, you know, that I thought I had. And so all my literature class, writing classes and things like that, I've learned so much from them. I grew up off of Baldwin and Hemingway and Dumas and Frost and, you know, Virginia Woolf. These was my heroes. And so I always found myself writing like them until I got stopped in college when the professor said, you know, who are you trying to sound like? Here's my feeling. He was absolutely right. You know, he told me you're using all these words, you know, banal words, and just be you. You know, he told me that what you do, you read Hemingway. You're leaving yourself room for error every time when you try to do that. And so I learned from that, and I persevered. And I won, it was African-American, I think Black History Month, and I did an essay called The Bastard and American Soldier. I was in the military. And that piece that piece that I've done won me the Black History Essay of the Month. You know what I mean? And so I knew it. You know, I kind of felt good about that. And then I started venturing into screenwriting. That's what I wanted to do. And prior to that, I was winning contests. I was in the village going up against these other screenwriters. I was daunted, yes. But at the end of the day, I won. I beat them all. I won the Blue Ribbon. And that just continued to build up my, you know, my confidence. And in that same school, here's the irony here. In that same school, one of the professors was also in that same screenwriting class that I beat everyone out. And I saw him on the first day, and then we looked at each other. And he said, hey, man, he didn't know my name. But he remembered my manuscript, my screenplay, which was called The Prodigy 5 with the numeral 5, IVE. You know, and so that was the first sign. And then later on, I'm homeless and everything like that. That child support was beating me up. I was living in rooms. I was working at the fire department, living on a job. You know, I just was in a space at that time. But I kicked it back and went back to school. And then they said that they have an author in the building. My professor, my African-American professor, said that he's selling books like hotcakes. Go check them out. They have free refreshments and some food. All I heard was fool. All I heard was freak. I'm telling you, I was doing that bad. And I went down. After I had to take a test, so I'm good with tests, so I finished early, trooped it downstairs into whatever room that they had. And the first thing that I saw was this place was packed with women. I mean, wall to wall, with their mouth open, eyes front. And I looked at this speaker, you know him from Adam, wearing a Yankee hat just like me, wearing Timberlands just like me and jeans. So I'm kind of intrigued. What's going on here? And then I sat back, and there was this guy. His name is Shannon Holmes. He wrote a book when he was in
prison.
This, that, and the third. You know what I mean? He's a very nice guy. He was an eloquent speaker. But at the end of the day, I said, damn, Birkin fixing his back? I was clueless that it came back. You know, because I just know about Donald Goins, Iceberg Slimming, things like that. And then I listened to him spoke. He spoke about Terry Woods. He spoke about this. And he's selling these books that are rapid pace. And I was judgmental, yes. I said, damn, I think I can write better than this dude. You know, that's my arrogance. And the very next day, well, I waited until payday, and I bought two books, Be More Careful and True to the Game. I read that book. And then I said, damn, is this what they want? Really? Okay.
Okay.
And then the very next day, because I consumed those two books because I just needed a prototype. What are we dealing with? What do they want? And so those are two excellent books that, you know, told me. You know, so I read it and went on the attack at my computer. I wrote every word of Harlem Girl Laws from Fire Department time.
Man, that's
a
love that story, man.
Travis, this was
sure. You know why that story was deep to me is because you don't see that now. Like, you don't see people flock to like book signings and like what the readers just flock to artists like that because it's just there's so much going on. It's like you don't really see that anymore. Like that's why with that story right there, like it's sticking in my head right now.
Yeah, I had nothing at that point. You got to understand this. I was going through a whole lot of mental issues, financial issues, broke up with my baby. I mean, I was just in a bad space. You know what I mean? I was really warped. And if you read the book, you know, I was living on my job at the fire department. And that's when I first started. And I remember I was told, you know, if you ever get to so dark in your life, put your pain and angst on paper. And nobody have to see it. You can just delete it, burn it up, or whatever. If you read Harlem Girl Lost, that was the very letter I was writing to myself. And it started, it morphed from there. You know, she did start off, dear Silver, what the hell is wrong with you? Are you losing your fucking mind? Excuse me.
And, it's all right. This is grown folks video, grown folks.
You know, I mean, I really was, I put my blood, I put my sweat, and I put my tears in that book. That book was so honest, I gave up so many secrets that I used to be ashamed of. You know, I grew up fucked up life, heroin life. You know, I mean, I saw things that no child should have to see, experience. People did things to me, and I did things to people just as bad. You know, and then at the end of the day, you know what I mean, you find yourself alone, and nobody want to fuck with you. And I was by myself. And then that book possibly saved my life because it gave me life.
Right.
You know, I attacked that book. That gave me a number of months of just pure passion. You know, I cried. Oh, I cried writing that book. I laughed writing that book. And I knew it was something special to the point where I just burned every bridge. I had to resign from my job. Once I realized it was worthy, and I felt life was just too damn short, you know what I mean? If I keep hearing these voices in my head, you're not where you're supposed to be, and you're not where you're supposed to be. People called me a fool. They called me stupid. They called me ignorant. But I quit my $60,000 a year job to do it without looking back.
So when you decide to write this book, Harlem Girl Lost, how did you even go about publishing it? Because I know that you started out as an independent, am I right? Tell us about how you even got started and how you even got this story out. Because it's considered a classic now. So tell us a little bit about that.
Yes. I'm an anal person, very anal. And when I stick my cheek into something, I will move my... That's it. I don't think about anything else. Like I said before, you know, when I wrote that book, I gave it my three loves: women, alcohol, and drugs. I dedicated everything to it, you know. And I did research. I did the legwork. I ate, slept, nothing but that. I had a tape called Think and Grow Rich, The Black Choice. And I play that every single night, going to sleep every single night until it just became part of my mindset. I saw nothing else, nothing. I was like a laser. I wanted nothing but this. So that's how it started. And so, you know, I remember I sent one my manuscript off to a major, which was Kensington at the time. And I got rejected, but in a nice way. They sent me a book. They sent me a book and everything. They said no. I mean, he was very nice. He said, you know, he wrote me that letter, that rejection letter, saying, hey, we just opened up a new publishing company called Urban Books. You should check him out. It's Carl Weber. But that rejection letter hurt me so bad, I cannot stand rejection. So I made up my mind, I'm not doing this anymore. I'm just going to do it myself. So I researched and learned the publishing business like it was the back of my hand, you know. And once that was up, that was it. I mean, I have no choice. I had no turning back. I had no recourse. When you have nothing else but that, you're going to make the best out of it. And I made the best out of it. I sold books even before the book was in hand. I learned about the distributors. I learned about the book companies. Hell, I was having family and myself. We call up these bookstores and say, hey, do you have a book for Harlem Girl Lost? No, we never had that. We did it so much that when I revealed myself that I got the book and it was coming in, I walk in here and say, hey, how do an author get their books into the store? Well, you got to do this, you got to do this, live with $3, give a synopsis. They told me all that. And when they asked me the name of the book, I was like, the name of the book is Harlem Girl Lost. They eyes light up. Oh, my God, we was looking for it. We got so many calls. You know, they call it books. He wrote Harlem Girl Lost. He wrote... And then instead of giving them two books, they buy two cases. You know, I mean, I printed up 5,000 books in 2004, May. And those 5,000 books went in 2.5 weeks. You know, I did my homework. I hustled hard. I was out of town every weekend. I was posting up these regular computer-generized, you know, paper with Homegirl Lost, summer of 04. And I posted up all over Harlem. I was going down to work, and I'll just leave these things on the seats. Because I was living up at 204th Street, and the first stop on the D train in the Bronx. So it's empty. So I'm leaving it all over the place. I watch people as they come get on board and sit down and look at it. I wanted to tattoo the name of that book in your brain. I was posting up all over Harlem. I was very determined, very anal. I was sick. But then again, I had nothing else.
So now that was, you've been in the game for about a decade now. Tell us, how did you, you made some, you know, some, you have had some success and then you faltered a little bit along the way too. Now that you kind of found your way, you found your way into cash money content. Tell us how that deal even went down. How did this even come about where you signed with them and then they put out, you know, Get It Girls, and now that you have this new ebook series coming out, tell us, you know, your new project that's going on and how this deal even went down.
Well, I was first signed to Random House. You know, after my book was, I was breaking all types of records. I mean, they couldn't front on me for Harlem Girl Lord. That was an amazing book. You know, I was making the Essence bestseller list every month in that book. I was doing the damn thing. You know what I mean? And it became just like a, it caught on like wildfire. I never would have imagined something like that would happen. I'm getting in the mail, you know, $30,000-$40,000 checks every 3 months. It was ridiculous. I looked at the check and I said, damn, what the, I'm doing something wrong, like I'm cheating. You know, anytime I got on the street, even the hustle back then, authors were still fairly new, and we was like a commodity. Oh, you an author? And they would buy your book just from GP. And I never was on the street. Me and my crew, we're I made less than $1,000. My first day selling books on 125th Street, I sold over 307 books, $10 a piece. It was amazing. And, like I said, you know, I was very proactive with, even before my book came out. I went to every book signing, just so I could just get that little tidbit of information. See, I take the back door. I don't go to a person, an author, and say, yo, look out for me, put me on. I don't do that. I'm going to put myself on, so I maximize everything. So instead of giving them the very common question, I asked them one question. That one question I ask each and every author is, if you can do it all over again, what would you do all over?
Right.
Right.
And
right.
You will not believe the magnitude of the information is, you know, that I received just from that question alone. You know, I even met my agent, my future agent, even before I had a book out. Tracy Sherrod, you know, very big author, I mean, agent. And I went to her, and I didn't ask, again, I did not ask the normal question that the average author is going to ask you. I'm going to ask you something else. I asked her, I said, Tracy, she had a book signing. She was the one who basically started, if you ask me, this urban fiction thing, she was the one who put out, it was the publisher of Coldest Winter Ever. You know?
Wow.
It was her baby. She was the brainchild. I can tell you some more things, but I'm not. But when I met her before I had my book out, I said, Tracy, how you doing? I'm an up-and-coming author, and I just like to ask you a question. She said, yes. Expecting me, can you be my agent? I didn't say that. I said, how can I get in your circle? She didn't know how to take that, but flattery. I know women. Don't get me wrong. And she gave me an invite to a function at the Schomburgson in Harlem. And so I went, me and my partner, business partner, and I just kept seeing the face. And the irony also is, my own father had a business right there next to Sylvia's during that time, and she happened to live right around the corner. So I was amazed. Now she starts seeing my, I mean, it's God divinity here. It ain't beyond me, but she lived right around the corner. And so by the time I booked, I start seeing her all the time. She's a big tennis buff. And so when my book finally came out, I said, hey, Tracy, you know, my book came out. Here you go. Gave her a book. And then I see her again, hey, Tracy, I sold out my inventory of 5,000 bucks. Good, Treasure. That's nice, Treasure. And then I see her again. I said, Tracy, I sold 10,000 books. I mean, 15, because I doubled up. I sold 15,000 books, and it's like 3 months later, 4 months, 5 months later. And then
wow.
I see her again. I said, Tracy, I made the Essence bestsellers list. Oh, congratulations. Keep doing what you're doing. I see her again, Tracy. I ordered another 20,000 books and sold this, and I made the Essence bestseller list 3 times. And then she just stopped and said, Treasure, we're going to have to talk.
And
she shot me.
She sold those books.
She shot me because agents is in it for the money. Believe me, they're not going to mess with no one just by making any money for them. So, you know, I was a good safe bet. She shot me to every major. And Random House was the one who gave me that money, and I couldn't believe what they gave me. She was good. Believe it or not, I regret taking all that money to this day. But it is what it is. And then after that, I did the quintessential offer thing. See, I'm a hustler. I used to get out every week, and I'm in another state. It's not one out. Besides probably J.M. Benjamin, I think there's no other author can keep up with my hustle. Because I went to death. I've been doing that selling since I was 7 years old, you know. And once I became that author, all my friend Quan and Eric Gray and everybody, we was a crew, so we used to go out of town a lot together selling books. And then after I signed that deal, I no longer have control of my books. So I can't go. I'm home writing. You can write with so many books. So I was with Random House for like 5 or 6 years, and I just said, no, I can't do this anymore. They had a deal on the table for me. I had to kindly say no thanks. I don't want to do it anymore. And I came out with my next book, which was Harlem Girl Lost 2, and put that out. Very successful once again. And then there's a lot of authors don't realize that most of my major deals was made simply because I showed up. I was in the place where the movers and shakers at. I went to a book signing for Wahida Park last year. And me and Eric Gray went. And it just so happened that Mark Gerard, he's the brainchild of the Cash Money content thing. He was there, and so Eric let me know. He said, yo, that's Mark. I never met him. And then he introduced me to him. Oh, Treasure, how you doing? So what you got new? I told him I got Harlem Girl Lost about to come out. We kicked it. All the while, he was calculating in his mind. He knew what he was doing. And he contacted me. Hey, you should come to the office. And he put me down with the team. You know, once again, it's showing up.
I have a question. I want to chime in a bit. Lissessa Arshell, and I have a couple of questions for you, if you don't mind.
Talk to me.
Okay. First of all, I'm loving the New York accent, the 125th, the 26th, the 92nd. I'm loving all of that, by the way. I just got to let you know I'm loving that whole New York feel. All the words. Don't do me that. See, I know you just said you have way with women, but don't do me that. I like that. Okay. But look, I'm a bit of a clown. But I have a question. If you had one thing to say to an up and coming artist that was like, you know what, I want to do this, but I'm getting all the no's, I'm getting the negatives. If you had one thing to say to them, and you're like, you know what? Everything you're doing, stop it now and write tonight. If you could speak one piece of wisdom for them tonight to erase all the negatives, all the no's, everything that they've been told, and just write tonight, what would you say to them?
I would tell them, this is the one thing I tell each and every author, is to never write from your head. And always write from your heart.
Oh.
See, because when you write from your head, when you write from your head, you faking. You know, they can put it like this. Writer's block comes only when you write from your head. That means that you're trying to sound like another author. You doubt yourself as an author. You know, you question yourself as an author. But if you just write from your heart, everything flows like water. You know, you've got to give up those secrets, because if you feel that you delete special and it only happened to you, you're dead wrong. And I understand that you got a certain amount of respect for authors that you read, you know, your favorite author, but once you start writing a sound like them, you already lost. You already failed. You know, there's many people up there.
You want them to tell their story. You want them to be original.
Absolutely, because that's what puts you in a class all by yourself.
Gotcha.
I mean, many people don't realize that, you know what I mean? There's only one Michael Jackson. Everybody else emulates someone. One Little Richard, one Prince, you know? But you see many people try to emulate them after that, and they're nowhere. You know, so just write for you.
Write for you.
Right.
Yeah. Period.
Have you seen any other?
And of course, research. That's it. Be willing to do that homework, because you will lose your shirt. I got a motto. I never got robbed until I got into the publishing business.
Wow.
True story.
That is deep. Right. So you got that out there, listeners. Right from the heart. When you're writing from the heart, nothing can stop you. You just got to let it flow. And you heard that from Treasure. That was his remark for you all. Well, I enjoyed you. You just keep on talking. I'm satisfied with just hearing you talking. I was listening to Harlem Girl Lost, and I'm just like, I heard about the book, and it's just like, now I really want to go tomorrow and pick that up because I'm so late. But when he was saying it was raw, I was like, you know what? This is something that I think I want to get into.
Right. I mean, I receive, you know, you take out the money, you take out the accolades, you take it. See, because I don't carry that chip on my shoulder. I'm not falling for that. I refuse. You know, I know where I've been. I'm not going to act brand new for anyone. However, the amount of people that I've touched through this book, giving up who I am, you know, things I've been through, things I've known girls been through, you know, I'm not scared. I'm not afraid to admit. I still do that all day, you know, because I wasn't in this business. I earned a lot of money in this business, and I lost a lot of money. I didn't say that. You know, I'm not ashamed. But when you have people, and this is before the social network thing, I'm reading, getting these letters from these young girls, how they changed their lives, and, you know, how, you know, they was molested at one time, and my book gave them solace to go seek help, because I deal with all these issues in this book. You know what I mean? And I give it to you raw, you know, in a certain way. I give you a lot of affirmation. I give you a lot of things, you know, in it. And even the brothers in jail, you know what I mean? I have had one brother write me, you know, he had life. He was never getting out. And he wrote me, he said, Brother Treasure, you know, he told me his background. He said he do not read these books like that. But at the suggestion, at the behest of one of his fellow inmates, he was from Harlem also, and he suggested to him to read it, and out of respect, he did. He said, Brother Treasure, I'm almost ashamed to admit this, but I haven't cried in maybe 30 years. But after reading your book, I cried uncontrollable because you tapped in on issues that I grew up with and I never told anyone.
And sometimes people need that truth. They need that. They need to know that somebody else went through it too, you know. But you're not alone.
Yes, exactly. And that's the one main thing that I emphasize in the book from the very introduction. If anybody else was out there like me, if I had the chance to do it all over, I would want somebody to tell me one thing, just that one thing, and that one thing would be, it's not your fault when you was a child. You know, because I carry this around to shame. You know, see, my mother was a gut alcoholic. I seen hell, and I kept all that bottled up, and I was always ashamed. Always had to wear masks in my life because I felt less than. I just felt dirty. It's not a no amount of showers could clean me. So therefore, you know, I always had to have the car. I always had to have the pretty girl. I always had this to cover it up.
Yeah.
But when tragedy hit me, when it finally hit me, and I could no longer hide, I buckled. I crumbled in the worst way. I never thought I was that weak, but I realized I was because everything was, my whole foundation was built in the sand. So when the storm hit, I collapsed. I collapsed bad. So it took me a long time just to recover from that mental degradation, you know, and it seemed like, you know, I wasted all these years and I'm finally getting it now. Finally getting it. Now that's a travesty.
It comes with time,
you know,
but as long when you get it, nobody can take it away. I think that's the most important thing. Once you find that aha moment that, so this is why this happened. So this is why everything, all these things happened to me. And you get that aha, that's it.
Aha moment.
This is where I'm supposed to be.
When I read these,
this is what
for instance, I was contacted by three young ladies, including one mother, who contacted me and said that because of them reading my book, they are now was accepted into medical school, which the main character, Sarah Jones, dreamed of becoming. You know, I put a lot of principles in there to believe. And that right there, I made a difference. You know, I made a big difference in somebody's life because of something I wrote. Wow. That's aha.
Now, Chad, we do have several callers on the line. I want to be able to see if they have questions for you, if they want to say hi. You may need some advice. I do want to give them that opportunity. Do you mind taking some phone calls tonight?
No. Part of the program, sis. I'm ready, willing, and able.
All right, now I'm going to introduce the caller by your area code. So as soon as I say your area code, definitely introduce yourself and go right into your question or your statement. Area code 662.
Hi, Taylor. I just want to ask, was it really hard to go from self-publishing to being a major publishing contract?
Can you repeat that?
She said, was it hard for you to go from being self-published to major? How was that transition?
Oh, it was a smooth transition, but, you know, it was like at that time it was easier because they were snatching up writers by the droves back then, and I can honestly say that. If I try to get into this business today, it would be 10 times as hard to get with me, you know, because it's the influx of it all. You know, you're no longer that commodity, you know, but, you know, I always advocate, you know what I mean? I look back at it all. And the reason that I signed the deal was because of ego. You know, you got to ask yourself the motive is why do you want to get signed to a major in the first place. You can have a reason such as, you know, I can get my name built up, I can, you know, get better distributing, people can, I get my place to places I normally can't, which is true. But a lot of people don't realize that, you know, you can possibly earn much, much more by being self-published and captain of your own ship. You know, I did not re-sign with Random House. I had a deal on the table that I turned down and rejected. Not because of money, because that's not who I am anymore. You know, that's just what, who I am. I know this business. I was very effective in it before I signed with the Mates. But that's just who I am. So final analysis is what type of person you are. If you're not a, if you like to be that premier author that just rather stay home and write, you know what I mean, and let everybody else do the legwork, so be it. Go for it. But if you like me, you know what I mean, if you like me, I'm like, you know, it's a lot that comes with being with a major. A lot of people don't realize this. I mean, it's a lot to this. You dealing with a lot of people now. You know what I mean? It's time scheduled now. I mean, it's a lot of things involved in it. You know, some things that I like and some things that I don't, you know. But I can tell you this from my mouth. I would have earned, and I got paid near mid-six figures with Random House. I can tell you, if I held on to all my rights, I would have been a millionaire right now. So it's what type of person you are. That's what it comes down to. And being signed with somebody is not in or sale. A lot of people don't realize that. You can be more effective by self-publishing. I see it every day. I know what these guys, KDP checks looks like. You know?
Right.
You know, really, it's a lot to it. So, once again, it all comes down to what type of individual you are. And please don't think, go trying to get a deal because of your ego just to say, I signed for no. Come on. Mm-mm. And to be quite honest, most authors is never going to get signed to a major. So it's no slight on you. It's just that it's a lot of people who was in the business much before you. You know, and that it takes time. A lot of authors come into this game, be successful on an ebook tip, you know what I mean, and feel that they, you know, cornered the market. Uh-uh. No way. They feel entitled now. I sold a few books, and nah, man, when we was coming up, we worked hard. We was out of state. I mean, we was in D.C. I mean, Detroit. We was in general. 9, 10 o'clock at night hustling in the cold. It's a lot to this business if you want to reach that pinnacle, that apex. You know, you can, but it's a lot of people before you, and it takes time. I was one of those same guys. My books were selling by the thousands. But whenever it was a newspaper article on urban fiction, I wasn't in it. I wasn't in it, but I knew I had to bide my time. So if you got a year, 2 years in a thing, and you think you're deserving, you got to wait your turn. Wait till people like me fall off and get out of the business. Move up. That's what I did. Move up. You know?
Yeah, that's good. All right, let's move on to the next question. We have another phone call from area code 301. If you can state your name and then go into your question or your statement. We call 301.
Royale.
Hi, hey. Welcome on.
Hi, Treasure. This is me. I was just saying, I just wanted to say hi and I love talking to you. Like, we talk all the time on Facebook.
Who's this?
Royale.
Oh, how you doing, dear?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm just fine. I'm doing very well.
But yeah, we're talking about all the time.
Thanks for supporting me.
Oh, no problem.
Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, mm-hmm,
so
I know you probably
don't
do anything for me.
And I want y'all to particularly pay attention to the young lady because she's going to be a force to reckon with. I read some of her work, and she got
what's
it going on.
Lashera,
are you there?
Yes.
No, Lashera dropped off.
Tell about the book you got coming out, sis. Plug yourself.
Oh, well, I'm not published yet, but I wrote a book called Breonna White, and it should be out soon, hopefully. I don't know exactly when, but hopefully next year. It's about, well, I'm a Christian author, so I like to write, you know, I like to be different or whatever. So, yeah, whenever that comes out, I'll be promoted on Facebook. And you guys can find me on Facebook. My name is Royal Blue, like the makeup. So, yeah, look out for me, please.
Well, definitely much success to you and best of luck. And I'm not definitely not surprised that, because it seems that Treasure is always has an open arm and he's always a listener here. How do you tend to do that when there's so many, you know, people in this industry and just, you know, in this circle? You know, it seems like a lot of people gravitate to you. How do you find the time to balance that and you actually do speak back? How do you do that? Because a lot of artists really don't. Like, they will say their high and bys and keep it moving or don't even reply. But you actually do reply. You would spend time and talk to these people and encourage them and give them some advice. How do you find a time, Treasure, to do all that?
I don't have a life. I have none. I don't have a wife. I live by myself, and I live in North Carolina now. You know, even when I was up in New York, I was in my apartment 23 hours a day. I don't know, just writing. I barely sleep. I'm up probably 18 hours a day, you know, and in the wee hours, you know, I'll give myself a quota, you know what I mean? If I got to do some serious writing, I go for 5,000-6,000 words. You know, I got to keep up, you know what I'm saying? But because I'm a businessman, I'm a hustler, and my theory is, my premise is, write, promote, write, promote, write, promote, write, promote, write, promote, write, promote, period. You know, you only get one shot at this, so I gotta make the best of it because, you know, I mean, it's like my legacy. You know, I got grandkids now, a granddaughter now. That makes a difference. I want to leave a lot of things to her. What did I tell you? You know, so it's called sacrifice. I ran those streets hard, ever since I was a kid, hard. I've been in relationships since I was 16 years old, living with 27-year-old women because I didn't want to be alone, you know. And so I got 3 baby mothers, 4 children, and, you know, I didn't know how to love, I guess. You know, I didn't have girlfriends. I had hostages. You realize this later.
Hostages. Oh, I'm sorry. I just had to break in that one.
Yes, I mean, I just needed you just for to make me feel whole. You
I
know?
Thought I was there with a victim.
Yeah. No, I gave you the world, but I just didn't give you no heart. You know, they never going to say, yo, you know, I motivated them to become people that they would have never been. I just didn't give you what was inside of me. I wasn't true. You know, when I have my children, I realized this is the life I want. I didn't want. I mean, it's sad, though. Nobody never taught me that part. You know? So, therefore, you know, I stay out of relationships now. You know what I mean? Because of these reasons. And I'm totally happy. I never could live by myself. Are you kidding me? I needed a woman. I needed a woman. So, therefore, it's amazing that I can be out of relationship for, 4 years now? I love it.
Wow.
Nobody. I get up, I write, you know, when I want. I mean, nobody move nothing in my house. You know what I mean? I'm doing my little exercise, trying to get pretty, like, sister now. And she know who I'm talking about.
Tamika?
Yes.
What happened?
She's like, he's trying to get sexy and slim like you.
Yes. Are y'all talking about me?
Yes, she is.
Yes. Come on, pretty girl. Stop all that now. Come on now. You know you're looking like a bigger than egg sandwich. You know what I mean? Right about now.
Egg sandwich. It made me some cheese on it.
Bigger than egg cheese. Oh, there you go. Hold the butter.
Hold the butter.
Hey, well, you know, I try. I mean, I saw you posting, and I saw the women there, and North Carolina was bringing you some food. I'm like, oh, really?
Oh,
okay,
yeah.
I'm not going to say nothing.
They trying to
clean. So, yeah, I see how you do. You go, you don't get to gain all the weight back while eating the women's food, you know.
You're right. Because I don't even keep food in my house anymore. I got a lot of
oil. Oh, you got it like that?
Nah, you see, let me say, I don't know. North Carolina women is something else. You know, they see you by yourself all the time. They kind of got a question. You know, hey, so where's the wife? Oh, I don't have a wife. Really? You know what I mean? But I'm just enjoying something I haven't had in years. You know. Yeah, it's a beautiful day.
We got one more phone call, son. They've been holding on for a minute. So let's get them on and see what questions they have for you. Area code 347. If you have a question, please state your name and then go straight into your question and your statement. Area code 347.
Hi, everyone. This is Allison. Hi, Treasure.
Hey,
nice to meet
Allie.
You.
Oh, my goodness. Keep this woman away from me. Keep that woman away from me. she my kryptonite. She's like a chocolate cake to a fat boy.
Oh my God.
Oh wow.
And she know what I'm talking about. Keep that woman away from me.
Oh my God. Oh boy. Okay, maybe
that's what's up. Allie's actually going to be a guest for next week, so that's cool that you call in and support it, Treasure.
Yeah,
like, you
two
are, like, really close. Like, I saw how close y'all were in New York, and, you know, I was peeping at, like, tell us about your friendship. What's going on?
Oh, my God. You know, to be honest, when I first met Treasure, it was on a rainy day in Connecticut. At a signing at Bridgeport Public Library with Eric Gray, Felicia Bradshaw, and a couple other authors. And I always go out and I like to support authors in their events when I can. So I went out there and it was basically to talk about publishing books. And I've never met this man a day in my life, but it was no lie, as soon as our paths crossed, it was like he took me under his armpit and was like, okay, you're mine. And you very rarely get that.
Allison, what you got like that, girl?
It wasn't even on a personal level. It was just, okay, I'm going to tell you what to do, how to do it, how to get to where you need to be. You know, you're going to listen to me, and I'm going to get you what you need to be. I'm going to give you the tools that you need to be successful. And I'm a sponge. So I'm like, all right, cool. Sometimes I think I'm too gullible. But, you know, I was like, okay, this man is about something because I heard him speak previously. So, you know, listening to him in that short 3-hour period, I was like, okay, he knows what he's talking about. He can't be, you know, he can't be leading me astray. And he kept conversing via Facebook and it got to phone calls. And, I mean, he just basically asked me what I needed and, you know, he embraced me, and he has taught me so much. I can honestly say that my first two novels, I was a bit nervous and scared, but when it came time for me to write my third novel, I just went buck wild. I just went crazy. I didn't care anymore. Like, read it, don't like it, whatever. It's my story. I'm sticking to it, and I'm just going ahead and writing how I want it to be. And people say it's far-fetched. It was just really, really raw. And it was because of all of the advice and all of the conferences, because that's what they were. They were never like 15-minute phone calls. It was hours on the phone and hours on Facebook with him talking to me and telling me what it is I need to do, how to develop the story, how to do this and how to do that. And, you know, from the bottom of my heart, if I never, ever, ever have told you this, Treasure, thank you so very much. you know how deep our friendship runs. And in a little over a year, I can honestly say he is my friend.
I feel another book coming.
Colleague and mentor.
Sounds like another
book. I'm so humbled by that. You know, see, that's what it's all about right there. Right there. That epitomizes everything that I stand for. Because I still feel like I'm on borrowed time anyway, so I guess I got a purpose, and maybe this is the deal that I have to do, you know. I mean, what was freely given to me, I'm just giving it back, you know, because no, Shannon Holmes, all these people, Nikki Turner, I mean, all of them, Terry Wood, I mean, Quan, Eric Gray, Anthony White, all these people took me under their wing, Al Sadiq, everybody. It just gave it to me. They hit me off. You know what I mean? Free. They didn't hate. They said, come on, let's do this. I mean, that's a... So, if it was freely given to me, why shouldn't I give it back to you? Purely. You know what I mean? And I try my very best, you know what I mean? Just to stay consistent and just be honest. A lot of people don't like that honest. But it's all right.
I mean,
you know?
I'm honest with you, people. You know, you can be a bit abrasive and a bit raw, but it's said with good intentions.
Absolutely.
And people don't like it because you know what it is. When people come to you, Treasure, they come to you with the idea already of what they're going to do. They don't come with a blank palette. They don't come with a blank sheet of paper, or they don't come have a dry ready to embrace everything that you have to say to them. So it comes off as you telling them what to do as opposed to you suggesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which is
and
true.
They don't like
you know,
that.
But you know what really stings me? I don't know, it's like a pet peeve when I get authors who come to me and say, listen, that they got into this deal and they got raw, blind. I don't know why I care, but it hurts me. You know what I mean? I tell you to your face, the reason that you got robbed is because you didn't do your research. You
yes.
didn't do the necessary homework, and this is a business. So all that personal things like that, you know, I heard it. Allison is 100% correct. But I don't tell you what you want to know. I tell you what you need to know.
Yeah.
And many people has gotten back to me and told me, you know what I mean? Yeah, you know, I took it like that, but you was absolutely correct. And if I could save you, if I could spare you a lot of hardship, a lot of financial strife, hey, that's just my way. You know, accept me for what I want, because I lost. I've done more research, man, than the average. And Allison is probably she's the most educated person in publishing. She knows more than me.
Please.
She knows 100 times more than me. When I got back into self-publishing, I relied on her for answers. But then again, you know what I mean? Each one reach one, each one teach one. You know what I mean?
I don't know. I don't know all of that, but I mean, you know. I feel you, and I thank you for that. But my thing is I learned all of this on my own. You know, it was me and another author who we've been friends forever. We learned this on our own. So when people come to me and they ask me questions, it's like, well, shouldn't you know this already? You made the decision to want to be an author. When I made my decision to want to write, there was nothing nobody could tell me. This is back in the days of MySpace. You know, I went ahead and research and how book covers are supposed to look. What is proofreading? What kind of editing is there? You know, just how to get my name out there. Just things of that nature. And there's certain things, certain basic information that you're supposed to know when you decide to sit down and write a book.
Absolutely.
But some
no
people
doubt.
Don't know that. They just continuously write. And I feel like I'm taking over the show, and I'm so sorry. But they just open up a Word document and just type, and then they want to, you know, give it and make it a book. It doesn't work that way. There's certain steps. Not magic.
Yeah.
And then
but
they get upset.
they great at what they do, because I still haven't figured Tamika out, and she's all over the damn world. I don't know how
oh
she does it. Every time I turn around, she's in, what the hell is all that about?
I'm going to call her Lester from now on, so she's all over.
Why y'all keep saying that? Like, I haven't really been anywhere in several months. I've moved to Atlanta. I've been in Atlanta for a few months now, and I've just been staying still. I'm tired. But it doesn't look like I sit still, because I still go out and do things here locally, too. But I haven't been out to stay, you know, that much, you know, this, at the end of the year, so.
Okay. How many states you been to this year alone? 48?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe like 8 or 9, something like that. But that was all before like May. After that, you know, by July, I haven't been doing anything because of my relocation. I've just been here. You know, I've just been networking here, but I've been networking and doing things outside of the book industry. I kind of left that behind and just been doing a lot of stuff in like the blogging world and then the entertainment industry and in the music industry, movies, things like that. I've been doing a lot of that. So,
yeah.
I don't know, I've just been doing a little stuff, a little different. You have to, you know, mix it up a little bit so that you can stay relevant and stay ahead.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah.
Well,
I can't juggle all those hats. You good.
Well, you know, I have to jump in.
I didn't get to ask my question. You see how y'all got me sidetracked? Okay, here's my question. This is Allison again. Hi. I noticed that a lot of your stories, Treasure, are told from a female perspective. How did you master that craft?
I used to, when I was younger, most of my girlfriends was from the streets, runaways and disenfranchised. You know, I don't know, they gravitated around me. I lived upstairs by myself, you know, my mom didn't come home, and they used to stay with me in the wee hours of the night. You know, after we do what we do, she's, you know, very clingy. You know, I'm not a clingy person back then. I couldn't do that. But, you know, she's one in particular used to break down and just cry every time. And she started telling me these secrets. When she was this age, a stepfather did this to her. And call me naive, but I didn't. I was shocked because I didn't think men could affect the kid. And it stayed with me. You know, and I found that like very intriguing with a girl's or woman's plight. You know what I mean? And it just wasn't that time. It was like the bunch I used to roll with, you know, I felt like shit. So they was the ones who never judged me, but they tell me these stories. And women's stories are just so intriguing to me. You know what I mean? It's my mother's story, too. What can I say? So I just gravitate around women. I know that I'm not impressed, but I'm impressed with a woman. And so, you know, all my books is just from women's perspective, because I find them very, 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 very interesting.
Because we are.
Because we are.
So.
What's that?
I said, because we are. We are very interesting creatures. We can't help it. So, hey, that's what we are.
Yeah.
For our listeners out there tonight that's interested in meeting you or coming out to see you, tell us what you have coming up. Where are you going to be at? Do you have any events coming up, any signs coming up where you are going to make appearances? Let the listeners know where you're going to be at your up-and-coming events.
Well, my new novel with Cash Money, Sly Betty, oh, I broke that one. Damn. I mean, this. I give up secrets that every woman better read. I give it up. It's a cold book. It's bad. I'm behooved that I wrote it. But that book is due out February 5th, and that's when I should start doing my tour. I don't have the itinerary yet, but I'm going all out. Even, like I said, you know, I'm going to start promoting way before, but I'm not talking on Facebook. I'm talking about in the field.
Right.
You see, everything begins and ends in the street. And so I'm a street dude. I know the hustle. You got to have a suit. You got to be tangible for the people. You got to show up. You simply got to show up. And I got a few, I got some books already lined up. The Battered Wives Club. I got A Girl Called It. I got Single Black Cougar. I got a lot of books coming out.
Single Black Cougar?
Yes. I got White Girl Laws coming out. I got my niece. She's coming out with Bronx Girl Laws. You know, so it's going to be a very exciting 2013, I promise.
That's what's up. Well, Trez, I definitely want to thank you for coming on and spending this time with us and talking to us and exposing yourself to us. I'm really excited about your journey, and I'm going to be following you when you go on tour, because I know that your label and your label mates is definitely going to hold you down, as well as yourself. You really don't even need that. I know you're definitely going to do it on your own, so definitely much success to you. Thank you for coming on. Let everybody know where they can find you, check you out online, your Facebook. I know you don't tweet, but give out anything that people can find you.
I'm still trying to figure that one out. See, that's the disadvantage of not having a woman. You know, for real. But, you know, TreasureEBlue@yahoo.com. That's my email. I'm TreasureBlue on Facebook. I'm TreasureWrites on Twitter. You know, I'm always available. I'm very active. And lastly, it's some secrecy shit. And that's what I do most of the night. You know?
Well, don't be sitting up eating all that food that you're getting from them North Carolina women, okay?
I'm being real good. I mean, I'm being extraordinarily great. I'm not taking advantage of women anymore. You know, I learned my lesson.
No, I didn't say take advantage. No, I'm just saying it's not good for you to take all that food at night. We want to make sure this is so healthy.
No, I realize that. That's why I don't lead them on and let them see, you know, let them, you know, realize that there's something more to it, you know what I mean? See, because women can get hurt like that, you know?
Do be open for love, though. Be open for love. You never know.
Here you go. Maybe 2019, I'll be cool.
Oh, Lord. Okay. That's a whole other show. Thank you, Treasure, so much for coming on. We appreciate
Thank
you.
Thanks for having me. I mean, I had a blast. Can I just say one more thing?
Sure. Of course.
Not only am I an author, I'm a hustler. Buy my books.
I heard that. Co-signing. I'm a hustler. Buy my books.
There you go. That's what it is. I'm not afraid to ask. You got to ask.
Right.
I ask all the time. You inbox me. The last thing after I tell you my spiel, I just say, hey, have they read it? If they read it, hey, have you left a review for it yet? Come on. So anything. Tell a friend. And one specific thing I think that got me particularly over with everybody, in the early years, I used to make deals with my, you know, buyers. I used to say, if it's everything that I said it was, can you just do me a favor? Say what? I say, can you tell a friend? See, because that word of mouth thing, nothing better than that.
Chester definitely knows how to spit that knowledge, so again, definitely make sure y'all check him out online. Bye, Betty. Go and pre-order on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, anywhere books are sold. Treasure again.
Walmart,
so
everywhere.
Yeah, it's everywhere. And definitely go support his backlist titles, start from the very beginning, so that you can know all about his style of writing. Tell a friend that you will listen to NBC Radio tonight. If you follow us on Twitter at AAM Book Club, tweet out AAMBC Radio. Let everybody know where they can come and listen to authors and actually get to talk to them, get some knowledge, get some good books, things like that. Definitely go and encourage people to tune in. Thank you again for Treasure for allowing us to expose you tonight. Miss LaSesha Arcel, Miss Mary Posa, Miss Anna Black. Thank you all so very much. We're going to go ahead and end tonight with a song selection by Miss LaSesha. And next week, we will actually have Miss Allison Edwards, who was on, Miss Allie, that was talking to us on the show tonight just a few minutes ago. We're going to be having her on the show to talk about her new series. So make sure you join us here on next Tuesday at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time. Again, thank you, everyone. Have a blessed night.
Good night, Miss Tamika.
Bye.